Hey, looks like we're the
Days ago.
I do not have audio or any. I guess I'm speaking, but to no audio.
Hi, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now, Bill.
Okay. All right. Yep. Looks like we're the only guys on so far, I
I hear
guess.
you also.
Oops.
I gotta change and get my name up here. I don't know, Jim. It's been a while since I've been on this. I've had some medical issues and so forth, so I haven't been able to do this for a while. I'm going to take off the, well, how do I do this? I forgot. Let me
Nice.
see if I have, I'll be right back. I'm gonna
All right.
play with this. That's not what I want up there. Let's try this. Well, there we go. Let's see if this do anything here. Okay, now I got what I want. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay. So is
Yeah.
Ed on also?
Please.
Is Ed Clements also on? He
Yes.
popped. Oh, I
Okay.
don't know.
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear.
All right.
There he is.
Yep, there he is. Yep.
Well, it looks like it's working okay now. I'm glad
Okay.
that when I clicked on it wanted me to update. And I just hate the updates on anything, including Zoom. It took maybe 5 minutes to update it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I've been trying to migrate from Thunderbird to Evolution, and so far I've got a mess on my hands.
Yeah, I had a hard drive fail on me completely.
Ouch.
The motor died. This is on a different computer. And the motor died, and I mean, it was dead, dead. So I went out to the computer store out on the 275, and they said, well, it's really dead. For about $2,000, we can get your data off of it.
Oh, geez.
And I guess they put the plates in another hard drive and do it that way. That's just a wild guess on my part.
Yeah.
And I said, I just updated it. I just backed it up a month ago. So that last month of data is not worth $2,000
Right.
on the computer. So it's just a dead drive now. But I
Yeah.
put in the new 1 terabyte SSD, and still working on it to get everything on it again. And it takes a while.
Yeah.
Reinstall all programs, and worse, you got to find the CDs to install the legacy printers and stuff like that. And that's not easy if you're as organized as I am.
I find every time I do something, I it seems like I look online and says you do this, this, and this, and two or three of the steps don't work on my computer for whatever reason.
Yeah, I know. And sometimes YouTube is worse. They're really kind of amateurish.
I'm not much to be proud of, but I bought some new spark plugs for my car. I got a deal on, I have a Honda, so it takes the iridium spark plugs, and I found a really good deal on the iridium spark plugs. And I went down to the shop, and they said, "Well, we have to source our own spark plugs. We can't blah blah blah." So I looked at several YouTube videos and ended up changing the spark plugs myself. It took me a while because I had to make sure I had the right wrenches and an extension and all this kind of stuff. But after I got all the right tools together, it didn't take very long to do the job. So now I've got a little baggie with all the tools in it. So if I have to do it again in another
Maybe you won't
100,000
use
miles.
them. Maybe you won't use them for another 50,000 miles.
Yeah.
Blue.
I see.
Hello, can you hear me well?
Sure can. Yep.
Okay, cool. It works. Sorry, I'm right up here next to the screen.
Well, you're cut off. We can see your chin.
Well,
Oh, well, not a
no
biggie.
loss.
Yeah.
Here the cam.
Oh, my. All right.
That's good.
That's a
Now
full
I'm a
view.
little bit There. Okay. I'll try to look at the camera.
That or add one more box.
Give me a second. I forgot the password for something.
As for your vice grip thing, when I had a Jeep with one rear brake line burst, to keep the system pressurized, we simply put a sacrificial pair of faux vice grips on that line. Mm-hmm. So I have three brakes, not four. I learned the most gentle touch with the brakes, because if you lock them up, of course, you're going to...
Was it a rear one? Or a
yeah,
rear.
Rear.
And you forgot to mention it was modified the vice grips.
What else was modified? No, is that wrong, Chief?
Oh, wrong. Okay. I'm confusing stories. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I was, wouldn't have dared to do that on that one.
Yeah, that
might be an optimal car was, if I got another car, it would be a 77 Jeep just before they started putting electronic ignition on it.
I have a 1980 Jeep on a lift kit. The top right was, you remember the Golden Eagle package with the big eagle across the hood of the car?
Sort of, yeah.
That's what it was. It was sweet. It was a fun toy. Of course, I learned on the way home from having both it that you cannot take a circular ramp at a reasonable rate of speed because I had two wheels up. Like, oh, we won't do that. I'm like, yes.
Yeah,
I figure I only got them up in the air once. So I'll be back.
Okay.
I'm wondering, you almost needed one of those tire coverage for it. It's tight down. So if you can read this, flip me over.
One of my favorites was I saw a car out on the road with the student driver sticker, and there was another one upside down on the other side of the window. Yeah, Dad, you are obviously Dad did this to the kid. It's like, way to go. It's snarky, but it's funny.
Looks like this.
My kids may have suffered through a little bit of sarcasm. Wonder how they turned out that way.
It's genetic?
Yeah, I just swear it's genetic because my parents were both sarcastic. We're sarcastic.
My word, though. Both of my parents were teachers. One of them was a college professor and the other one by high school, junior high school.
And they weren't sarcastic?
Not at all.
I had even sarcastic teachers.
My mom loved students. My dad, the students hated him because he never did the same test twice. He always wrote a new test every time so that they couldn't go to the pool and pull this test and get the answers. Now it's all on the internet. So, yeah. He wasn't a favorite of the students, but I don't think any of them disliked him. He was political science in Texas history. So there wasn't any really room for snarky.
Snarky is just a personality. It's just a way of life.
But he was from East Texas, and they're pretty laid back there. Remember, I fell out of a pine tree, about 20 feet, I guess. My grandfather was taking the door and yelled, "Our kid fell out of a tree." Didn't go out there to see us still vibrating. That wasn't my dad, that was his dad.
So I have to apologize. I have forgotten the password for one of my toys.
You tried password?
I just said it like 2 weeks ago. It's something I would remember. And therein was my failure.
69, dude. Oh.
Well, I mean, look at the positive side. It's good to know that Murphy's Law always works.
It absolutely does.
One law you cannot violate.
Oh.
What is It's still. No, mine's.
And I'm also trying to. Yeah, there we go.
Take this first. Yeah, it's in here. I just, it'll be under that.
No, I meant on the block.
It might be back there behind those chairs, right there, one right across over here.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
That sounds like somewhere else I used to live before. We moved into a late 50s, early 60s housing development. And there were three or four house plans. And we had a major plumbing issue. We were looking for the cleanout work, and there were a whole bunch of old guys hanging out at the house next door, hanging out in the garage, there and there. I was like, you know where the cleanout plug is? Oh, that's the same as Bob's house. Bob's, where's yours? You take about six steps from the front door. And we look in the shrub, 6 feet from the, sort of get for talking to strangers, to find out little things like that. I figure if you talk to enough people, somebody's got a cousin that had that problem. And, well, some of them are going to be right, some of them are going to be wrong, but it can be very difficult. Mm-hmm.
I was a little late getting here. I apologize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Saturday morning, for God's sakes.
Of course, he has to consolidate into one big bundle with holiness.
Well, I'm willing to sit down and pick up what he called version.
That's the nice thing about Red Bird Pie is just get some dull side of hay and stick on the back of the line. It's a big one.
Oh, no, this is just data. Mm-hmm. I need to go through these purges and the data. Some of the stuff's useful, most of it.
I don't know if that's actually working or not.
This records video in 1 minute increments at 120 megs. And,
well, what the heck?
It's got all the footage. You might have accepted this before you plugged in. It's helpful when an accident occurs. It doesn't always recognize it needs to save the data at that moment. But okay, that timestamp should be here. We are. We're at like 2 or 3 minutes of what happened before after learning and say, here, I was not at fault. Don't dock me on my pay, as in the employer. And I had a few people who reviewed it, but you can hear it happen. They can even hear you say,
who signed in first? Just out of curiosity.
But he can probably have many options. Rush hour in Columbus on 315. A lot of roads consolidated.
I think I've got to disconnect and reconnect. Yeah, I'll be right back.
The comment about it's always under construction there. It will never be finished. That's what it is.
Well, that also fits with cross county highways can be complete
for my mayor.
My school, it still wasn't done when I completed high school. So yeah, there's certain things.
So this is what I'm trying to log into. And it's being silly. Technically, I'm being silly. Let's start fresh.
That's probably the first time I actually realized that he was the voice growing.
I'm a voice person. I listen to things. It's like, wait a minute, that's the guy from that thing.
Yeah, the voice sounded familiar, but it didn't know anything. And then what we're learning about the actor, it fits his character and what he wants to do.
Years ago, the kids used to play Call of Duty. And you hear that noise in the background constantly, all the chatter. I forget why I was watching it. It's the dude from Call of Duty. I have that voice. And now on IMDb, they list game voices and such. If you're the one that did the voice for Bob the Commander and whatever, it's like, oh, okay.
I'm surprised. I'm looking at some of the older shows, and I have, like, I'm doing Stardate SG-1.
Okay. Yes.
We watched him. Part of the new Batman.
Yeah, it was the newest one, Dark Knight Rises, I think.
And he's in there. I never noticed him being in there before. And that's something else too. I don't know what it was. But yeah, I've seen all the people that have watched the video times and then not seen him. There's no point to what I just said. It's just recognizing people.
Yeah.
And then there's
we have a surprisingly slow connection here.
Then there's certain shows where it's a whole bunch of young people. Later on, you go back and rewatch. It's like, he became someone. Oh, if you go back and watch Freaks and Geeks, everyone went on to be big after that.
Wow. And then last night, we were watching Gremlins 2. And you can start the Atlantis, right?
Yes.
Remember Ruby?
I think it was the work that they sent runs.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to bring a face to mind. It's a little fuzzy.
He was in that, but he actually got hit.
We didn't even recognize him. Like,
I knew I'd seen him stand.
His girlfriend always had the phone in her house. And she's
Well, I got nothing. This is going to take forever. So I'll just do a show and tell. So most of you should be familiar with the Pi 4. That's this little guy. Oh, wait, let's take this out. This is one of my Pi 4s. I have several. The blue ports are USB 3. It's got the standard 40 pins. On this side, there's a camera connector, and hidden where you can get to it from that little slot there is a video connector. Or I have those two reversed. I don't remember which. On the Pi 5, it now has three of those little connectors. One on that end, and that doesn't show very well. And two here by my thumb. The two by my thumb are either video or camera, depending on what you hook up and how you configure them. And the other one, the odd one, is a three-lane PCIe port. Four and a five. There's a three just kind of comparison.
Oh, yeah.
And I love this case. So the Pi 4, you could get away with passive heat sinks, and it would be fine. The Pi 5, they really recommend an active cooler. It's got a little fan on it. I don't know if that's all necessary or not, but I've been using it. I will give this. Let's try this again. Restart. I can do Netflix full screen on it at 60 frames per second, and it uses one processor about 90%, or one core about 90%. Whereas on the Pi 4, it used all four cores about 70%. So it's definitely smoother to watch Netflix on the Pi 5. Silver is a Pi 3. The two black ones are Pi 4s. And the one with the fan on top is a Pi 5. Another thing that they've added is a power switch, which is greatly appreciated. Yeah, the little tiny switch. Yeah, on the bottom.
Little white.
Little tiny switch next to the USB-C cord, right next to your index finger, now thumb, on the side.
Okay. Yeah, that is a bonus.
Yeah. It also has a super clap on motherboard and a real-time clock. So it doesn't need to have constant network access to know what time it is. Because drift on a Raspberry Pi is pretty bad, like 2 minutes a day, because it's all done in software. Well, if it's on the network, it checks its time very frequently. And it also sets its drift, so it stays pretty accurate. But the real-time clock on here is supposed to be very accurate, second to mine.
The rest of the group?
Yeah, and they haven't seen
that. How much for the passport?
It was 90.
Oh, that's good.
Sam's Club. I've got a Seagate that I bought about a year ago at Costco. I think same storage may have been $10 cheaper.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me. I got a 5 passport, and I think I paid 105, 110 maybe, but it wasn't on sale and it wasn't at Sam's Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can check Sam's and Costco to see which one is the better.
Hey, it was a case that was there. I hadn't been in the store for a while.
I will give this for internal drives. I think Seagates are better. For externals, I have had several Seagates fail.
Okay.
Like out of 10 Seagates and 10 Western Digitals, one Western Digital and 4 Seagates.
Oops.
Yeah.
Well, the other 5 terabyte is, I don't know, maybe 500 gigs. And most of it's just video footage from my Garmin. I'll just take the micro SD card out and dump it. There's only been one time I truly need to go into the archive and pull something out. Put it on flash
drive. You just take it there and watch your old driving experience?
He does. At times it do, because there's moments where I want to really see what happened in the scene.
Okay.
On the road,
so I'm going to try to reflash the SD card for this thing.
Generally, no. Not anymore, because I now know what it picks up and where I need to point the camera.
I go through and just say what experiences in the middle of this online. I have like a whole
ignore those.
There's many moments that I just tell him to take a picture. And one of my, he's now boss, but he was just another driver. He takes pictures, yeah. Just tell him to take a picture and it saves it. Now I can tell it to record, but the problem is if I tell it to stop recording, then I don't get the continuous unsaved footage from the whole day. But I didn't have any trouble doing it beyond a save and give me this destination.
Mine's the next base, and it just saves constantly in 3 minute increments. And then, like, it's got like a little what do you call it now? Not accelerometer, but something that senses like vibration. If you take a corner too hard, or like hit a bump, it'll lock that footage and start up.
This will, but it's been kind of strange on what it does and doesn't. So I haven't determined what its parameters are on that. Because I've been in moments where I'm making a turn on a country road out in Hillsborough, and I'll hear it chirp. And once I'm done dealing with the curb, and maybe get a little pothole, look up and hit them on the screen, then it just saved footage. And really? And then weeks later, I get somebody clipping the front of the truck. It did more damage to the car than to the truck, and it didn't bother to save any of that.
Always good when the person that follows is the one who gets more damage. Karma occasionally blows.
That's what I learned in Columbus. If you have an accident, if you have injuries, please don't check. You just file it up online for them.
Well, how are they supposed to determine there's a fault now?
They don't. And that's frustrating. If
I'm sure that raises your insurance rates.
If you hit me, why should I pay for the damages?
Exactly.
I mean, that's going on my record.
In my case,
my insurance is going up. No.
The DOT says that if I have an accident, even if I'm not at fault, drug test. And it should have been done No. I deliver food to the elderly, so I'm kind of
sponsored.
That's what I was told.
So the commercial driver's license now falls under PSA.
But I'm not a CDL center.
Really?
No.
That surprises me.
All the trucks we drive do not require that. There's only one that they use in the fleet, and they do have a CDL driver for that. It's freezer. He's dropping pallets of food in there and haul them off to Cleveland or something like that. Because they only need maybe 3 or 4 instead of an 18-wheeler full of frozen food in little TV dinner-style trays. But yeah, I was told I was supposed to be off the road until that drug test passed. I'm like, okay, it's fine. I was working in the warehouse. Like, wow, I didn't fully know when and where I had to go. And
okay.
So by the time it got done,
this is the only way I can think of to
for 2 days straight
bypass the password on my Pi or on my KVM. I mean, so oopsies. Anybody got anything broken?
Yeah, I've got something broken. I'm trying to move from Thunderbird to Evolution. And I did the IMAP, and my mails are just fine. Emails are fine. And I'm running into problems moving my address book. I finally put everything from Thunderbird into CSV, and I had several files that I consolidated them. And I think I might have it about right, but I'm not sure. And I'm not familiar with using the Evolution very much. So it... And in my when I moved it over, I've got a one file that's completely empty. I used to have two email addresses on it, and I got rid of one of them. And now then, I guess I had junk in the file that I moved over. So anyway, I don't know if there's anything specific that can be done.
Well, do you still have access to the Thunderbird?
Oh yeah. I still have access to the Thunderbird. I didn't kill the Thunderbird.
Then you can re-export. I mean, it's relatively straightforward. I don't have many folks, but yeah.
What happened on my Thunderbird is I used to have Embark Mail, and then I had Embark Mail plus Gmail, and then Embark Mail died, and I've got fiber optics. So I've got kind of junk in my Thunderbird. So when I moved it over, I had junk in my Evolution, and I don't know quite how to get rid of junk in the Evolution.
Yeah, that kind of depends on how many addresses you've got in that address book. I know on mine, I got a lot, and it takes a while to go through and clean that up.
Yeah, I went online and I exported in the Thunderbird. I had a bunch of different books, so I exported star.csv to an output of all my files.csv, and then I ran a deal to get rid of duplicates. Let's see if I can remember the command here. Okay. Yeah, I did then a sort -u, which gets rid of the u, supposed to get rid of the duplicates. My combined file with the output of the combined file. So I think I got all my people in it right, finally. Anyway, maybe my problem is I'm just trying to get used to the, and you know, the Evolution. I like the idea that the calendar is believable in Evolution. I kept losing things playing with my Thunderbird calendar.
The problem with sort-u is you're not going to have any two addresses that are exactly the same. You almost have to look through the, glue all the lists together, make sure they all have the same number of columns. That's a huge one.
Fulton County Public Library.
And then manually just go through the list.
Got it.
And yeah, my list goes back. To the 90s, 97, 98, something like that. Because I never throw anything out.
Right. Yeah. I've got a bunch of email addresses.
Easy ways of backing up crap like that on a phone. We used to trade SIMs and move my contacts to your phone, your contacts to my phone, so I can take one of them broken. We can recover the contacts.
Right.
So I still have his contacts from decades ago in my phone. I don't know who these people are. It's like, whatever, they're there. So people pop up on Facebook if I dare to forget and let it look at my contact list. Like, people you know. I know this name. I don't know this person. I'm like, whoopsie. But it'd be completely losing the contact if you lost or broken a phone.
If you didn't figure this out yet, this is my ex. I don't know.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Okay. Edmund, Sandy.
Oh.
Okay, but now that you said Sandy, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I remember.
Two out of the four kids in town, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why they ended up sarcastic. Us as parents.
Where are my pies? We're going to be able to plug one of these in.
Unless you're 20. Really? Yeah.
Something that's going to go according to plan?
I was thinking at least three of them are part of a museum?
Is that
Oh, I got three museums.
Those are all active.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with a Pi 4 here. Christmas, there you go. And now I got to find another table real quick. There we go. So I've never hooked one of these things up to this 5 KVM. It would be really ironic if you can't use a 5 KVM with a Raspberry Pi.
That would be a Microsoft problem.
Yeah.
I see. The guy's name is Murphy. He wrote a bunch of laws. So fingers crossed.
I'm just trying to install a piano for 7 laws. I couldn't install it because it couldn't get access to the particular file. So I had to go download the damn version because of time yet. Could run this all the VPN.
Oh, and the other thing was the Pi 5 requires a little bit more power.
Miles. So I had Star Office and Linux, and I could read both of that.
The power supply for these things is rated for 27 watts.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm still in open office.
Well, I was in Star Office
before I got the Microsoft this, and so I've got two of the open office, old versions. I'm all the way.
Did you have a job where I got hooked on using Excel macros and they just don't work the same in open office? So
now the calc is not. So
it's not.
Backspace. Now, if you hit delete, I'm going to use it. I have Excel Express.
Okay. Should be booting here in a moment.
I think it's Backspace that deletes everything in there. And possible Windows. I don't remember for sure.
It's interesting. Never noticed that before.
Excel.
That's always a good starting point.
Huh. Yeah, I don't want to do that. That's weird. So, again, this is the Pi 4, and it boots reasonably quickly. I mean, it's not a slouch. I am curious. It says it's 1280 by 720. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. I don't care. We'll just do H top. So right now it's showing all 4 cores and they're running at 20%. HTOP itself takes quite a bit of processor. So that's some of it.
What's the difference between TOP and HTOP?
This cool little part of the display up here. Otherwise, they're very similar.
Standing graph to the.
Well, there is other stuff. I mean, see, this just shows you the load average and tells you that it's about 2. So that means since it's 4 cores, it's using all 4 cores about 50%. TOP actually is more process intensive than HTOP. HTOP gives you that cool thing. F5, if this window is bigger, it would make more sense. Gives you a tree view of things. HTOP is kind of like a mix between Midnight Commander and TOP. I just, it's nice. Even says so right there by F8. So, Oh, that moves fast. Through it. I'll just see what this is. Huh. Kind of surprised I can't hear it. So it's usable. Honestly, on a 19.2 by 1080 screen, you can see some jitter. It's actually better looking here. Change. Go back here. With video running, it's got all four cores running it better than 50%. It's going down because it's not pushing to the display now. But it does its thing. It's pretty cool. That's a Pi 4. Oh, I have no idea. I didn't.
What about the Union Hard Drive?
Yeah, the railroad ball. You can start seeing the movies by these paladins.
Crowdsource.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. That's what I was looking at.
So. I can see what Daily Wire does one.
Yeah, I've not talked to Ken about that.
But there's at least one documentary going.
Yes,
I don't know when. I
think you've heard talked of it.
I mean, it's besides Taylor Swift, that's the biggest thing on all the news feeds that I looked at.
They
That's actually a complaint. She's on there so much, it makes no sense. It's the same thing every time.
She's got a good guy. She's got a boot of hairs. What? Who cares?
He's at a football game.
Who cares?
Yes.
Okay. Interestingly, this came back at the same resolution. I don't know why.
Has nothing to do with the screen you're using?
I don't know. I just reloaded the KVM. It used to default to 19.2 by 1080, but I'm not sure why.
How intelligent is it when it connects to the screen is and what it will use as a default?
Well, it's a thing that you can set. You can tell it what you want the screen resolution to be. The Pi KVM sends out its own EVID signal, but apparently it starts relatively low.
So you could set it, like if you had a weird monitor, like the old plasma we had that had a weird resolution, you could set it and use that as your store display screen with whatever running.
I could also capture the EDID from that display and push it into this so that I could emulate that display on another machine. So if you were doing something like content development that you know is going on a Jumbotron, you can push the resolution you want and then hook that up to another computer, and there you go, a web image of what the Jumbotron would look like. but I don't remember how I said it. And it's been a while. I mean, understand this thing, this PyKVM has been on for years, literally. About 2 years now. I unplug it to bring it here, and I plug it back into my server when I get home. And I have the password saved on everything that I just recently changed. But anyway, yeah, it happens. So this is the Pi 5. I don't know if you noticed that it booted faster. Let's restart it. So push the little push button on it. It pops up the what do you want to do? Push it a second time, and it goes for a shutdown. And it is off now, whereas the Pi 4 took about 15 seconds to shut off. And pushing the button, I am kind of curious that it doesn't do the rainbow screen. I kind of liked that.
It's a lot quicker.
Yeah, that was about 12 seconds. Yeah, and it says I have updates. So HTOP on here, and it's pretty low. Don't like that. There may be a way. No.
Oh, I'll get the name for
it. It's the Railwayman.
Ah.
And again, you can't see it just because of the way things are connected, but on a monitor, this is much smoother. It's nice. Also curious to me that it came back up running in the same spot.
Well, would that be your Netflix account?
Yeah, but it wouldn't normally come back up running that video. It would normally come back up here.
Where he was on there 2 minutes ago with the other.
Maybe. Okay, see, I don't deal with Netflix. I didn't know how they handled their streaming service.
Oh, Netflix is nice. I really like Netflix, and of all the streaming services, they're still cheap.
I have to adjust. The only thing that I have an account with the streaming service is SiriusXM.
Oh, okay. I have Netflix and Hulu, and Netflix is under $20 a month by a margin, and I've got 5 people in the account. And I've got Hulu plus HBO. I mean, HBO is tagged into Hulu, and I think that's like $30 a month. And all of the stuff on Hulu, you got to sit through commercials on. And I get no commercials at all with Netflix.
Yeah, we didn't do that with Netflix. I canceled my account that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would have canceled Hulu because there's. I initially started watching Hulu because they had I Dream of Jeannie.
Mm-hmm.
Like Barbara Eden. And yeah, they at that point it was free. I mean, this is years and years ago. It was okay. Oh,
I was trying to figure out the 1983 that was up there.
Mm-hmm. What?
Suspenseful Conspiracy TV War, the first one, 1983. It looks like Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
I figured he got to the point where he was done acting. But I guess give him something interesting and enough money. Okay.
I didn't even realize they had eyes on me still.
I didn't even know it existed. railroad then? Is that what
I think so.
Yeah, the Union Carbide.
So all four cores are under 25%. Just looking through random stuff on Netflix. The Railwaymen.
I knew I had it wrong.
What's the max size of the the card?
I know that it will recognize a 256 gig. Personally, I think SD cards that size tend to be really unstable.
Yep.
I have a backup of Wikipedia on a 128 gig SD card. Actually, that used to be in that pie you've got over there. It was kind of cool, but that thing's crappy. It really was. And I've gotten one card bigger than that. They tend to be
so it's fragile.
Yeah, I think so. Everything I used a big card in was bad.
I don't think I'd ever need for two
things. So engineer away from it and use.
Yeah.
What level does the stability stop? You say 128 was flaky. Is 64 a while?
The 64 seems fine on my phone. Okay. And I've got like 200 days of audio, 180, something like that. 180 days of MP3s, and it's using less than half the SD card.
I'm trying to remember what I had in my old phone because it was stable, but he just had a bad big card, and I had something that was leaky.
In my Evo, I've got a 128, I think. Because what's in stock is a 64. And I'm mostly happy with it. I do a backup about once a week, but other than that, I don't actually have it turned on or anything. And I use rsync and I do a block level verify afterwards. So, I mean, it comes back and it says all these log files don't match anymore, but I don't expect them to. When it starts saying things in the bin folder, that's a bad thing.
Tuck in the bin. I mean,
see if I can remember my password on this. Oh, don't need it.
Yay.
You put one unheard message. First unheard message.
So the Pi does software updates pretty frequently. I've never trashed a Pi doing updates. Your mileage may vary. Where I'm at now, we do updates about every 3 years in Linux boxes, and that just terrifies me. I'm used to doing updates roughly weekly. Unless I know that, if I check in and there's 200 updates, I'll wait 2 weeks and then check again. And if there's the same number, I install them. If it's a lot more, I find out what's going on because there shouldn't be that many. But yeah, when companies don't do updates on a relatively frequent basis, they then have trouble when they, because they do a shit ton of updates all at once. That is sure.
And they don't know which one blew it up.
Yeah. And then they go, oh, we'll never update again. And that's not good. You do updates frequently, do 7, 8, 10 of them, use things like TIG and Git and Etsy Keeper. I don't know if I've got that installed or not. I forgot. But Etsy Keeper is like primo. No, I guess not. So all of this noise that just scrolled off the top is every single file that's in Etsy. So if I update something now, sudo tig. It shows every file, how many lines it is. Like Etsy Keeper itself is 1,320 lines, FS tabs. 3 lines. The pluses mean that those were added. This is latest. That was a K, I think. Yeah. Fine. Trying to think of something I can install that
will do no harm.
Well, won't do the harm and brings in some dependencies. And I can't remember, maybe Image Magic with a capital I? That. Okay, fine. Okay. So
it's a capital I, capital M, and a K on the end.
I M A G E M A G I K
M I G I C K.
That's weird.
Capital M as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it.
What?
Capital M.
Really?
Yeah, that's what caught my
attention. That's what I'm saying.
Is it M on the magic or M on the image?
Oh, sorry.
I'm thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I broke it.
Well, you were asking the room if it was anything broken.
Yeah.
The anger to computer gods and the full version of all people.
Anyway. So now this is. Got 3 lines in it. The initial commit, things that happened before I did the change, which shouldn't have anything in it, and things that appeared after GNU plot. So you can see that it installed AGLFN, GNU plot, LibLua, the PCRE, that's Perl something regular expressions. I don't remember. But GNU plot lets you plot graphs of data and stuff. It's kind of cool. I can show you that if you want. I think that's it. Yeah, there we go. So and this script
altitude was
digs through the
48 kilometers before we lost telemetry. I think the target altitude
the log files at clug.org
some kilometers, so they don't
send this information to GNU plot along with a text file, or actually a series of text files, and that generates this PNG file. And this is for today, and it's the last, I don't know, 40 days worth of information about how many people have been trying to SSH into my server. And luckily today it's very low, but yeah, a few days ago it was kind of high, and back here, not good at all. That's the about the 25th. So if we go back up here to 0925, oops, slow down. And we'll go for the 28. This is the actual log file. This is connections by nation. 44 from China, 18 from the US, 16 from India. It's a pretty good list, actually.
Is that the people that got in and the people that attempted?
That's the people that attempted. None of my machines can be SSH2 without keys, and keys are like 400 character passwords effectively. So yeah, when someone successfully SSHs to my machine, my phone dings. I get who it was, what time they connected. I get a notification when they log off as well. So it works. I don't get too many dings. It's me. And this doesn't have my keys on it, so I can't show you that, at least not gracefully. Let's see, how could I do that? Oh, here we go. I can SSH from my phone. So connected in. And there's the notification that somebody just connected in. And that comes back with. That wasn't what I wanted.
Might have actually come up with a good reason to have a smartphone.
Well, this is just a text.
That's fine.
It'll go to a dumb phone too. SSH alert login Steve at silly.org from 222.sub-174-231-209.myverizonwireless.com.
So you're saying that my flip phone would also get that in there?
Yep.
I seriously fun doing that with this thing. The DVR and camera system I have one house that would just send me text. And with this, the basic information, you don't need anything fancy. Just that, hey, something's going on here. You might want to look into it.
No.
And I just disconnected. And this is actually surprisingly slow. When I've got this thing on, oh, there we go. event closed session from and the IP address. Curious that it doesn't show my name in that. I never noticed that before. But being as there's only two people that SSH into that box, I pretty much know who it is. So that's number by nation. What name they tried to log in with? 111, 1234, 12345, 7 days. this is
no, it's XCC here.
47 people tried to log in as dot test, 39 as root with zeros.
That one's pretty popular these days.
Yeah. And these are the physical addresses that the connections appeared to come from. That can be spoofed, but meh, whatever. Most people don't bother. And I forget what this one is. 10 attempts from that one particular address, 9 from others. All of these ones that are sixes, I'm assuming that that's a distributed attack, especially considering that there's blocks of addresses in there. And the reason that those numbers are as low as they are is after 5 attempts, I block their IP address and they've got to try from another address for 6 hours, I think. No, 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 some number. But yeah, this is clug.org/stats in lowercase, and everything is this user IP yesterday. And I've got these logs going back years to 2019, starting early in the year. First of the year, I probably deleted stuff from older than that. How weird. I thought I had a PN. There we go. There's the PNGs. Yeah, in 2019, bad days were at 100. But yeah, if you want to learn how to use the new plot, there's a little bit of information here. Wait, where did it go? Oh, I'm still in order.
You'd have to set up the login first.
Oh, that's set up by default. This is so. Depending on whether it's Debian-based or Red Hat-based, your logs are going to show up in etsy syslog, I'm sorry, in varlog syslog or varlog messages. One of those two files will exist.
This is in your firewall, right?
No, no, no. This is actually on the server itself because I'm looking at specifically SSH stuff, and I do the blocking on the server. There are only two machines that you can get to from my firewall. So if they try other ports on the firewall, I really don't care. And I run on non-default SSH ports, which really cuts down the number of attempts I see. If you open up port 22, you are almost guaranteed to see a few thousand a day, every day. But no, this is just every time somebody attempts to make a connection on port 2222. Before it lets them connect, it makes a note in the varlog messages. Then it checks their name to see if they're a valid user. If they're not, it adds a second note. If they are, it looks to see if they have a home directory, and if they do, it looks to see if they have a key available that matches the one that they've already sent. If it gets to that step and realizes they didn't send a key, it looks at its own information to see if it's allowed to accept a password, which it isn't. And if they haven't sent a key, it makes a note that there was an unauthorized attempt to log in. So every connection generates at least three lines in Varlog messages or Varlog syslog. So I'm just looking at that.
Yeah.
And this is what I get just for from grepping out SSH. What? Why is that zero? It won't be tomorrow. 78 line one. So I grep out SSHD, or actually I think I'm doing www space SSHD, and that gives me the stuff that everything else goes back to. Let's go back to when there was some more stuff in there. There's the raw log is 118K. So this tells me the time. So a minute and 9 seconds after midnight, minute and 20 seconds, 2 minutes and five. What time, where from? These are the raw messages out of Varlog messages.
That second one, they spell administrator with a D.
Nice. And, hey, it may be, there might be hundreds of occurrences. It might be that there was some how-to somewhere that showed how to set up something, and they used administrator as to keep people from knowing what they were doing. I mean, they're all something. ASDF. I have used ASDF as a username before, just because it's easy.
My kids learned their curse words when I was driving.
Well, mine did too.
So did I.
I was just saying,
when I was driving, or when your mother was driving.
I truly detest having an email address as a login.
Yeah.
The stupidest, second stupidest thing. Using the text as a secure question.
So, has anybody run across anybody using emojis?
I doubt
there's a few thousand of those.
Yeah, but I don't think that most
secure
side banks in particular is my big
deal.
Would allow you to use emojis as login.
I don't know.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I.
That's what I'm listening to. The
best. You can't use alt 255. They freak out over that one. That's a blank in DOS. Alt 255.
Yeah.
I used to use that to secure my stuff because people see a space and they put a space there. It doesn't work that way, especially in DOS. I was preparing later than that.
Yeah, that works.
That's not all
there. Well, really not paranoid if they're really out to get you. And
I know.
On the internet, they are out to get you.
Oh, yeah.
You might not know who they are, but they are.
Yeah, I might know where to that time. Yeah, paranoid, maybe.
But, yeah, I usually Etsy Keeper is the first thing I set up before I do any updates. I strongly recommend it. Learn how it works. Yep. It shows absolutely every change that you do on assist. It ties in with Yum or apt or whatever does update so that if you install software, it makes a note before and after. It shows who made the install. See, it's got my name here, even though I was using sudo. That shows I'm the one that made the changes.
Noted that you're using sudo.
Mm-hmm. And it shows like this stuff down here. I'm trying to read this myself. Sorry. Okay. Oh,
that's pretty colors.
Yeah, it does. This shows what packages were installed up here, package changes. It would show if any were removed by having a little minus in front of them, and they would show up with a different color. It added, why is it marking that? It's the alternatives. Can you, this must be a link from Etsy alternatives, gnuplot.gih, this file, to this file. And it shows that it was added. And that my internet connection is unstable. But fun toys. The Pi 5 is pretty sweet. Having a button on it that brings that up.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It's nice.
Price point versus Pi 5.
Well, you could buy a separate switch, put them onto your Raspberry Pi and then run a strip.
Mm-hmm.
And you could shut them off, but it's a pain in the butt. It doesn't always work.
Any questions?
Are you going to remember this password for later?
It's default. I left it at default. I'll change it again later, but not right now. Because when I get home, I'll be able to remember what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's one place where I have to read that old password that you used to use. I don't know where it is, but I never access it. Remember the one that you gave me that one time at the office? Begins with a P and ends with S word.
I don't.
It's so mutated.
Okay.
It's the only one I got left. It is in 24 characters.
I don't, but okay.
Well, I know we talked when you said, yeah, I finally had to give them, you know, use that anymore. Rise and fell. That was obviously a lot of money.
No, most of them use the same one. All the Windows boxes were still the same password when I left, and when Parker left the second time. Yeah.
Is he still working for the company that you told me about that for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a long drive. He's looking for getting a house up in that area.
How many miles are we talking?
These are free.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a huge drive. No. He's going 35, 40 minutes every morning to work and back.
Considering he doesn't like to wake up.
Yeah.
When I worked in Mason and through a temp agency years and years ago, a guy that was running the warehouse and managing the installers, he used to work in Broport. And was still living in the Mason area at the time. I think he'd moved into a newer house since then.
Well, it used to be driving 30 miles here to work was not a big deal because you didn't have tons and tons of wreckage driving next to you.
I kind of disagree with you. I think that the cars on the road now are better.
Yeah, but the people. Yeah. The people that are driving the wreckage.
Nobody services their machines. Nobody is working lights anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was not an advocate of safety lane, but man, I'm almost at the point of saying, dudes, go get your shit checked. And I've driven utter crap, and you can.
The thing that blows my mind is I have a 2016 Corolla, and I've never changed light bulbs in it. They're all still working. I see cars from like 2 or 3 years ago, like 2021, 2020. Yeah. They're thinking like the lights, like they're only have one headlight working and then one taillight working. It's like, what the heck are you guys doing with these cars?
Well, part of the problem is I have a feeling it's an instrument. It's a whole cluster and you just got power and signal. One of those two go, the whole panel's dead.
Talking about brake lights and stuff.
That's what I'm, you're referring to brake lights or just working lights as markers?
Brake lights. We had a Ford and a Toyota. They had the same specs on them, the bulb, going in, but the electrical ratings on it were different. So the bulb for the Toyota, there was one in a passion autos and it was like, let's say,
so long, folks.
And a two pack of the ones for Ford were $1.75 or something. So Toyota is using more durable bulbs.
So that could be the case, but still, it's like these. The last one I saw was like a Ford Bronco Sport, which is.